Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Alice Bryant. Later, Steve Ember will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, "We Want Democracy" is written in large white letters on a street in Myanmar's biggest city, Yangon. "Justice for Myanmar" is carved on watermelons. "Reject military" is written on t-shirts worn by protesters. All the messages are written in English. A minority of Myanmar's 53 million people speak English. But it is the language of protesters who are trying to get their message of opposition to Myanmar's military government out to the world. "Writing in English is more effective than writing in Burmese," said student Coco Luen. He told the Reuters news agency, "We want the international community to help us." The protesters showed thousands of signs in English. Some said, "Free our leader," as a call for the release of Aung San Suu Kyi, a symbol of resistance to military rule. She has been detained for 3 weeks by the generals who said that last year's election was not fair. However, the use of English by protesters is dismissed by Chit Nain. He is the information minister appointed by the military. The state media reported that he said, "Writing in English, asking others to help and to intervene in our country, I am not such a stupid, helpless person as to do that. Know the dignity of your race and parents. You are not alone. Don't disrespect the dignity of your nationality," he added. There are over 130 ethnic groups in Myanmar, also known as Burma. The language of the ethnic Bamar majority has been the country's official language since independence from Britain in 1948. Suu Kyi, a graduate of Britain's Oxford University, stated that education in all languages was important. But English skills remained low in Myanmar. A 2020 study from Education First ranked Myanmar's English ability 93rd out of 100 countries measured. International support for Suu Kyi, who had spent 15 years under house arrest, did little to change the military from keeping the country isolated. Many suspect the same will be true again with the latest move by the military to take over the government. "International reactions of statements and sanctions will have no effect," wrote historian and writer Tantmint U on Twitter. Protesters are hoping the United States and other Western countries will help. "We need U.S. Army to save our situation," said some signs held up outside the U.S. Embassy this week. There is also a social media campaign in English on Facebook and Twitter designed to gain international attention. Anti-coup supporters posted memes in English to show what is happening in Myanmar. They are also quickly answering foreign governments' reactions to the situation.
VOA Learning English, we sometimes get questions like this. How can I speak English with more confidence? That is a great question. No matter what language we are learning, we would all love to speak more confidently. Juliana Vasquez is an English teacher. She also trains teachers and is a language researcher at the University of Panama. She said, lack of confidence can come from having trouble with pronunciation and not having a wide enough vocabulary. If you lack confidence when you speak English, you may do one or more of these things without realizing it. Speak in short phrases, speak too softly, speak too fast or unclearly. So today we have several pieces of advice to help you gain confidence in your English speaking ability. Believe it or not, the most important person you talk to every day is yourself. In other words, your thoughts matter. So, our first piece of advice is to use positive self-talk. If you lack confidence as an English speaker, you may tell yourself things like, English is too hard and I will never improve. When you talk to other people, you may say things like, I'm so sorry for my English. But if you keep thinking and saying these things, you are sure to start believing them. Magdi Saleh is an English teacher and teacher trainer based in Cairo, Egypt. Saleh said many English learners need to show themselves more patience because progress takes time.
You have to be patient with yourself and talk positively with yourself.
He said you can tell yourself something like, today I will learn this thing and tomorrow I will learn other things. So the next time you are using your English, pay attention to what you tell yourself or others. Be sure to replace unhelpful thoughts or ideas with better ones. The next tip is to speak louder and slow down your speech. When I taught English at a language school in Washington, D.C., I noticed something about my students. Those who lacked confidence spoke too softly, and they did not enunciate well. Often, I had to ask them to repeat themselves a few times. To sound more confident, speak loud enough that anyone in the same room can easily hear you. And try to slow down your speech if you speak too fast. Many English learners worry that speaking too slow will make them sound inexperienced. But speaking too fast may cause more mistakes. So avoid worrying that you are speaking too slow for the people around you. Our third tip is to speak in complete sentences and give longer responses when possible. If you are not confident in a language, you will likely try to say as little as possible when you speak. Trust me, I know. When I visited Brazil, for example, I remember asking a building doorman for the fitness center key. In Portuguese, I said just, good afternoon, fitness center key, please. Saleh says this is a common problem for language learners. For example, if you ask an English learner what their favorite color is, they may give a short, direct response, like, my favorite color is blue. But a native English speaker is likely to give a detailed and less direct response, like this.
Well, to be quite honest, I don't really have an actual color. I guess that if I were buying clothes, I'd go for something like blue or gray.
Using complete sentences and giving more detail in responses shows listeners that you are not afraid to speak English. Now we move to tip number 4, read out loud. Reading out loud can help build confidence in how your English sounds. So the next time you are reading a website, book, or something else that you enjoy, take a few minutes to read the material aloud. Vasquez offers a possible plan of action. Before reading aloud, read the story silently first. The second time, if there is audio, you can listen to the speaker as you read along silently. Then try to read the story out loud alone. Then try listening to the speaker and reading out loud at the same time. List words you have trouble saying, and then later check their pronunciation on Google Translate or in some other place. Saleh adds that learners should read for pleasure and enjoy what they're reading. So he advises not stopping to check word meanings in a dictionary while reading. One of the biggest barriers to confidence in speaking a second language is the constant worry about making mistakes. So our next tip is, do not worry too much about mistakes. Understand that making mistakes is a natural part of the language learning process. Yes, you will make mistakes, but keep in mind that the purpose of speaking a language is to communicate. And many English learners communicate very well, even with mistakes. Vasquez notes that mistakes can be a good thing. The more experience you get, the more you will know what is and is not correct, she explains. Our final tip is to set realistic goals. If your English speaking skills are at the beginner or intermediate level, and you try to do something too difficult, you may fail. This can harm your confidence. But if you do something that matches your level, you are more likely to do it well. As you learn English, it is natural to lack some of the skills you need to communicate well. Often, when we lack skills, we lack confidence. But remember that as your skills grow, your confidence will too. Vasquez advises learners to make a plan for daily practice and spend at least 30 minutes each day practicing your English. I'm Alice Bryant.
To help protect yourself against the new coronavirus, wash your hands for 20 seconds with soap and water before you eat, after using the toilet, and after touching anything many other people touch, like a seat on a public bus. If you cannot wash your hands with soap and water, use an alcohol-based hand sanitizer that contains at least 60% alcohol. Taking these steps can help prevent not only the new coronavirus disease, but also colds, flu, and other viruses. For more information, visit the following websites: the World Health Organization at www.who.int or the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention at www.cdc.gov.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember. The D-Day invasion of June 6, 1944 was the largest amphibious assault in history, and it led to the end of World War II in Europe. Allied forces stormed the beaches at Normandy, France. The invasion marked a turning point in the war in Europe as Hitler's hold on the continent began to crumble. On today's Making of a Nation, we take you back to that event, beginning with a decision by the Allied commander, General Dwight David Eisenhower. On June 5, 1944, a huge Allied force waited for the order to invade German-occupied France. The invasion had been planned for the day before, but a storm forced a delay. At 3:30 in the morning, the Allied commander, General Dwight Eisenhower, was meeting with his aides. The storm still blew outside the building. General Eisenhower and the other generals were discussing whether they should attack the next day. A weatherman entered the room. He reported that the weather would soon improve. All eyes turned toward Eisenhower. The decision was his. His face was serious, and for a long time he was silent. Finally, he spoke. "Okay," he said, "we will go." And so the largest military invasion ever known, D-Day, took place on June 6, 1944. The German leader, Adolf Hitler, had known the invasion was coming, but he did not know where the Allied force would strike. Most Germans expected the Allies would attack at Calais, but they were wrong. Eisenhower planned to strike along the French coast of Normandy, across the English Channel. The Second World War was then almost 5 years old. The Germans had won the early battles and gained control of most of Europe. But in 1942 and 43, the Allies slowly began to gain back land from the Germans in North Africa, Italy, and Russia. And now, finally, the British, American, Canadian, and other Allied forces felt strong enough to attack across the English Channel. Eisenhower had 150,000 men and 12,000 planes for the attack. But most importantly, he had surprise on his side. Even after the invasion began, General Erwin Rommel and other German military leaders could not believe that the Allies had really attacked at Normandy. But attack they did. On the night of June 5th, thousands of Allied soldiers parachuted behind German lines. Then, Allied planes began dropping bombs on German defenses. And in the morning, thousands of ships approached the beaches, carrying men and supplies. The battle quickly became fierce and bloody. The Germans had strong defenses. They were better protected than the Allied troops on the beaches. But the Allied soldiers had greater numbers. Slowly, they moved forward on one part of the coast, then another.
People of Western Europe, a landing was made this morning on the coast of France by troops of the Allied Expeditionary Force.
General Dwight Eisenhower.
This landing is part of the concerted United Nations plan for the liberation of Europe. I have this message for all of you. Although the initial assault may not have been made in your own country, the hour of your liberation is approaching. All patriots, men and women, young and old, have a part to play in the achievement of final victory. To members of resistance movements, whether led by nationals or by outside leaders, I say, follow the instructions you have received. To patriots who are not members of organized resistance groups, I say, continue your passive resistance, but do not needlessly endanger your lives. Wait until I give you the signal to rise and strike the enemy.
The Allies continued to build up their forces in France. Within 1 week, they brought nearly 90,000 vehicles and 600,000 men into France, and they pushed ahead. Hitler was furious. He screamed at his generals for not blocking the invasion, and he ordered his troops from nearby areas to join the fight and stop the Allied force. But the Allies would not be stopped. In late August, the Allied forces liberated Paris from the Germans. People cheered wildly as General Charles de Gaulle and free French troops marched into the center of the city. The Allies then moved east into Belgium. They captured the port of Antwerp. This made it easier for them to send supplies and fuel to their troops. Only when Allied troops tried to move into the Netherlands did the Germans succeed in stopping them. American forces won battles at Eindhoven and Nijmegen, but German forces defeated British Red Devil troops in a terrible fight at Arnhem. Germany's brief victory stopped the Allied invasion for the moment, but in less than 4 months, General Eisenhower and the Allied forces had regained almost all of France. At the same time, in 1944, the Soviets were attacking Germany from the east. Earlier, Soviet forces had succeeded in breaking German attacks at Stalingrad, Moscow, and Leningrad. Soviet forces recaptured Russian cities and farms one by one. They entered Finland, Poland, and Romania. By the end of July, Soviet soldiers were just 15 kilometers from the Polish capital, Warsaw. What happened next was one of the most terrible events of the war. Moscow radio called on the people of Poland to rise up against the German occupation forces. Nearly 40,000 men in the Polish underground army listened to the call, and they attacked the Germans. The citizens of Warsaw probably could have defeated the German occupation forces if the Soviet army had helped them. But Soviet leader Joseph Stalin betrayed the Poles. He knew that many members of the Polish underground forces opposed communism as much as they opposed the Germans. He feared they would block his efforts to establish a new Polish government that was friendly to Moscow. For this reason, Stalin held his forces outside Warsaw. He waited while the Germans and Poles killed each other in great numbers. The Germans finally forced the citizens of Warsaw to surrender. The real winner of the battle, however, was the Soviet Union. Both the Germans and the Poles suffered heavy losses during the fighting. The Soviet army had little trouble taking over the city with the help of Polish communists. And after the war, the Free Polish Forces were too weak to oppose a communist government loyal to Moscow. Adolf Hitler was in serious trouble. Allied forces were attacking from the west. Soviet troops were passing through Poland and moving in from the east. And at home, several German military officials tried to assassinate him. The German leader narrowly escaped death when a bomb exploded in a meeting room. But Hitler refused to surrender.
Instead, he planned a surprise attack in December 1944. He ordered his forces to move quietly through the Ardennes forest and attack the center of the Allied line. He hoped to break through the line, separate the Allied forces, and regain control of the war. The Germans attacked American troops, tired from recent fighting in another battle. It was winter. The weather was so bad that Allied planes could not drop bombs on the German forces. The Germans quickly broke through the American line. But the German success did not last long. Allied forces from nearby areas raced to the battlefront to help, and good weather allowed Allied planes to begin attacking the Germans. The battle ended by the middle of the following month in a great defeat for Hitler and the Germans. The German army lost more than 100,000 men and great amounts of supplies. The end of the war in Europe was now in sight. By late February 1945, the Germans were forced to retreat across the Rhine River. American forces led by General George Patton drove deep into the German heartland. To the east, Soviet forces also were marching into Germany. It did not take long for the American and Soviet forces to meet in victory. The war in Europe was ending. Adolf Hitler waited until Russian troops were destroying Berlin. Bombs and shells were falling everywhere. In his underground bunker, Hitler took his own life by shooting himself in the head. Several of his closest aides also chose to die in the Führer bunker. One week later, the German army surrendered to Eisenhower and the Allies.
Yesterday morning at 2:41 a.m. at General Eisenhower's headquarters, General Jodl, the representative of the German High Command, and of Grand Admiral Dönitz, the designated head of the German state, signed the act of unconditional surrender of all German land, sea, and air forces in Europe to the Allied expeditionary forces and simultaneously to the Soviet High Command.
British Prime Minister Winston Churchill.
Hostilities will end officially at 1 minute after midnight tonight, Tuesday, the 8th of May. We may allow ourselves a brief period of rejoicing. Today is Victory in Europe Day. Long live the cause of freedom.
The defeat of Germany was cause for great celebration in Britain, the United States, and other Allied nations. But two facts made the celebrations less joyful than they might have been. One was the discovery by Allied troops of the German death camps. Only at the end of the war did most of the world learn that the Nazis had murdered millions of innocent Jews and other people. The second fact was that the Pacific War had not ended. Japanese and American forces were still fighting bitterly.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.
This is VOA News. Reporting by remote, I'm David Byrd. The UN COVAX initiative got underway as Ghana received the world's first delivery of coronavirus vaccines from the program. AP's Karen Chamas reports.
The arrival of 600,000 doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine in the West African country marks the beginning of the largest vaccine procurement and supply operation in history. It's been a long-awaited start for a program that has thus far fallen short of hopes that it would ensure shots were given quickly to the world's most vulnerable people. The initiative, formed to ensure fair access to vaccines by low- and middle-income countries, has been hampered by the severely limited global supply of doses and logistical problems. I'm Karen Chamas.
Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine is receiving passing marks from U.S. drug regulators. AP's Ben Thomas reports.
The Johnson & Johnson vaccine is considered easier to use than the Pfizer and Moderna shots. Those must be kept frozen, while J&J's can last 3 months in a refrigerator. And it only requires one dose. Food and Drug Administration scientists have confirmed overall it's about 66% effective at preventing moderate to severe COVID-19. Friday, a panel of FDA experts will meet to debate whether the evidence is strong enough to recommend the J&J shot for use. Even if it receives approval, however, it won't boost vaccine supplies much right away. Only a few million doses are expected to be ready for shipping in the first week. Ben Thomas, Washington.
Authorities say German customs officials have found more than 16 metric tons of cocaine in containers that arrived in Hamburg from Paraguay. Another large shipment of the drug was seized in Belgium and a suspect arrested in the Netherlands. The total haul would be 23 tons and would have a street value of several billion euros. This is VOA News. The Biden administration says it will distribute more than 25 million masks to communities hit hard by the coronavirus pandemic. AP's Sagar Magani reports.
It's part of the administration's push to ensure equity in the pandemic response.
Not all Americans are wearing masks regularly. Not all Americans have access. And not all masks are equal.
So virus response coordinator Jeff Zients says free, high-quality cloth masks will be available at more than 1,300 community health centers and 60,000 food pantries. Anybody who needs one can get one.
We are helping to level the playing field.
President Biden, like President Trump before him, had considered mailing masks to all Americans, but is instead opting for a more conservative effort. Sagar Magani, Washington.
Amnesty International has revoked its prisoner of conscience status previously given to Kremlin critic Alexei Navalny. Reuters' Adam Reed reports.
Amnesty International, the human rights NGO, says that it no longer considers jailed Kremlin critic Alexei Navalny a prisoner of conscience due to past comments he made that it believes qualify as advocacy of hate. In a statement sent to Reuters, Amnesty said some of these comments, which Navalny has not publicly denounced, reached the threshold of advocacy of hatred. And this is at odds with Amnesty's definition of a prisoner of conscience. Amnesty did not say what comments it was specifically referring to. However, Amnesty did go on record to say Navalny should be released from jail and that he has committed no crime. It says he's being persecuted for his campaigning and outspoken criticism of President Vladimir Putin.
That's Reuters' Adam Reed. German Foreign Minister Heiko Maas on Wednesday urged Iran to accept the offer of diplomacy that's on the table to resolve a standoff over its nuclear program. He was speaking in Berlin during an online session on the sidelines of the UN Human Rights Council meeting in Geneva. Maas also commented on the conviction of a former member of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad's secret police Wednesday after a torture trial in Germany. He said that trials outside Syria are, for him, great rays of hope, but also a clear signal to the victims. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi urged all sides in Myanmar's political crisis to steer clear of violence on Wednesday in the wake of a coup in Myanmar 3 weeks ago. Indonesia and fellow members of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations are seeking to promote some concessions by Myanmar's military that could ease tensions before there is more violence. Visit voanews.com for more. Reporting by remote, I'm David Byrd, VOA News.
Ooh, yeah, mama, hey. Listen, Africa, welcome to your super show, The African Beat on the Voice of America. From our studio here in Washington, D.C., I am David Vandy. Hot, rocking, and beautiful sounds as usual coming from across the African continent. As we make our first stop, Nigeria, with Tosin. This guy is a professional drummer based in Maryland, USA. This is I Will Be There For You. This is good. And right after that, I Wanna Be Your Man by Sierra Leonean-born Marcelino, based in Canada. And right after that, Africa by Sini, featuring Fireman from Rwanda. Well, let's start off with Nigerian-born Tosin right now in I Will Be There For You. Africa, Cine featuring Fireman of Rwanda, and right before that, I Wanna Be Your Man, Marcelino from Sierra Leone, and Nigeria's Tosin, and I Will Be There For You. You are listening to your favorite music show, The African Beat on the Voice of America. I am David Vandy. I'll be right back with more music.
African Beats.
Africa. Africa.
Voice of America.
Yes, indeed. The African Beat on the Voice of America. Now, let me take you to Uganda with Radio and Weasel in Obude. And right after that, No More Kpayo. I love this beat by this great man from Ghana, Asem. But let's go to the top right now with Obude by Radio and Weasel of Uganda.
cases. More papers, how much massive for your home come on? They debate us, planning and plotting the gaseous. Ever since we moved in, they want to vacate us. That's when your mentor near evicted. They thought I wouldn't last, so many can you predict it? Then I drop run away, then I drop ringtone. Them all start run away, yes, he say I'll be king. God, Charlie, I'll be too smart for your shallow thinking. You know you will soon leave without my eyes blinking. I'm shining with a silver lining. I don't just rap, there's a scheme to my rhyming. And the wait is over, over. No more weight on my shoulders. I'm about to. Africa's very on hold, very on hold. And they play better shows. No more lion. I'm pacey, I'm getting more dough. To get the biscuit, me flow no but you with me I'll pass up a biscuit. I feel I'm a bit chum, some of you artistic. Me ding, my car, mano, this a lipstick. Munche, bear me beer, or your muff muff. Tell a little skinny dude, just wanna act up. Tiny bestie, I pull my load off. I get that beef flex, Charlie, you be local. For the other squad, they don't deserve to be mentioned. Puss in boots, craving for attention. Cry babies, waiting for detention. Crusading to attend my convention. The wait is over. No more weight on my shoulder. I'm about to. Africa's very on hold, very on hold. And they play better shows. No more bio. I'm pacey, I'm getting more dough. I'm actually did it, but I choose for a sit, man, I take it easy. When me they said you're winning money, baby, they be with your sim, they are grouting with your GDJ, me, I get the bakery, you are just a bestseller. Critics rate me, they say I be bestseller. The more you, they hate me, they give me energy, they all can't wait to recite my elegy. The wait is over, no more weight on my shoulder, I'm about to. Africa's very on hold, very on hold. And they play better shows. No more bio. I'm pacey, I'm getting more dough.
No More Payo by Asem of Ghana, and at the top was Obude by Radio and Weasel of Uganda. This is the African Beat on the Voice of America, and I am yours truly, David Van Der, here in Washington. Don't go away, don't touch that dial.
The African Beat, with music of Africa, from the Voice of America. We love it.
To love you, baby. Yeah, M.I.C.
Oh, yes, I did.
Frank and Delay. I want to love you,
baby. Girl, I'm not gonna lie.
Please don't. I want to love you, baby. I want to love you, baby. I want to love you, baby. Said I want to love you, baby. I want to love you, baby. I want to love you, baby.
I get to put in my pocket, come give me right hand. Go understand soon, begin familiarizer. TTA, me I like your tantalizer. MS, my name and bracket today. You don't tell me, are you? You are me. You don't tell me, do you? I want to do you like a queen. Take a treat for nobody. And I'm there so lonely. No, no,
and sunlight, and she know the time. I'm okay, come dance by my side, yeah. Of all the girls I know, who hearts like fire.
This is Emerson, the last man standing from Freetown, Sierra Leone, on the African Beat with David Vandy, Voice of America.
The African Beat on the Voice of America, broadcasting from Washington, D.C., and we come to you Mondays through Fridays on your dial. Let's get back to some music right now. Knock out the sound of Johnny Clark from Liberia. It's what's coming up next. And right after that, Battle by Hashalu Hondesha of Ethiopia. And taking your minds back a little bit to this old but beautiful music by Salif Keita of Mali, Tekere. But right now, Knock You Out. And let's get some Knockout by Johnny Clark of Liberia.
Baby, you knock me out.
Johnny.